Greetings, and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast that's followed more than one road paved with good intentions straight into development hell. I'm David Lloyd, and this episode we'll be talking about some indie games, both ones we'd recommend and maybe ones that we wouldn't. And here to provide a first-hand opinion on the accuracy of the locations found in Broken Roads, a game we'll be talking about later on, it's Paige Chamberlain.
Well, see, I've never actually been to Western Australia, and it's set in Western Australia, so I can't actually talk about the accuracy of the locations. Although I did forget to show it to someone because one of the main locations in the game is Kalgoorlie, which is a place that used to have a bomb factory, and apparently I know somebody from there, so I need to ask them what they think of this version of Kalgoorlie.
It reminds me of if somebody asked me about Saskatchewan or Manitoba, it'd be like, well, I've flown over the provinces. I haven't actually been there. But yeah, it's funny. We have quite a few Australians in our Discord, so it was funny to see the excitement for Broken Roads. I can attest to when a game comes out that's kind of based on my homeland. There is some anticipation that comes out, though I've never played. I think it's like Death Road to Canada or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's the game. Yeah, I can't say I've played that one, but yeah,
it
always sounds
very many games set in Australia that we're not counting like sports games. There's been a couple cutesy little indie ones now, so like, you know, it's vague. Like, there's a few coming out where it's vaguely Australia, but you know, we're sitting on like a little island or like no specific location. Like Dinkum is like an Animal Crossing like game that's in early access, and some other little potion shop game, which I think is possibly like the first time outside of sports games, because that would count first, that actually you'd have Indigenous Australians as playable characters. So Broken Roads is possibly one of the first few times.
Now, there had to have been a Crocodile Dundee NES game at some point.
I should want to look that up now. But
I guess the actors from Australia.
No, but you know, like if you go like to the list, you know, games set in Australia, then it's usually just like some sports game. And then there was like some point and click I never played, but that got a sequel recently.
What about Mad Max? There must have been a Mad Max.
Oh yeah, that's Mad Max. Mad Max. It got that game like probably what 10 years ago now.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that everything in those movies are set in Australia.
Yeah, they they are. Although
whether you wanted to admit to it or not.
Yeah, I was trying to remember if the newest one was shot in Australia, if it was just had to be shot in a different location, because the usual location was too green for once. So, oh, really? Yeah, it was too much rain and it didn't look deserty enough. Yeah, there isn't a lot, so I was interested in that. Plus, games that are set in Australia and made by Australians, because I played Kiwi, which was about some Kiwi birds from New Zealand coming to Australia to work in a postal office. And it was made by Americans, and which became obvious when the Christmas holiday was taking place in winter, on top of it snowing. And, you know, when I complained to some people, like, yeah, well, the Kiwis are working at a post office with an octopus, what do you expect? And I'm like, they could at least get the season right. They can know what a hemisphere is if they're going if everything else looks good and nice and accurate. Like, why is this one thing not right?
Geography is not American strong suit.
It was obviously the wrong season as well. Yeah, and it's like, really? Just that one minor thing really bothered me. And yeah, I played this game at PAXOS, which I didn't put it in my preview, but I did notice like a couple little bugs, but they were just the silliest things. So it was like a character was sitting on a chair, but the chair wasn't there. Or I went to kneel to talk to somebody when they were just standing upright, like, you know, no reason. And then we got the review code, because it was meant to release in November last year. And it was really, 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 really buggy. Like, I was getting debug options, just things weren't there. colors were wrong. There was a bit where I'm supposed to be in a one-on-one fight, but it has my whole party and the people just run away, so I'm just like slowly getting at them. The skeletons were red instead of white. It was like every time I tried to play, there was like something else wrong. So they made the decision to delay it for an indefinite period of time, like they said to quarter one, but then it didn't release till this month in April. And then partway through that time, where we weren't hearing anything, their publisher went under. And then, but I don't know what happened with that, but they did end up setting a release date for April. So I got it taken out of my Steam account and put back into my Steam account and started playing again. And for the most part, I didn't have as much bugs, although I think some people have, like, they fixed the soft lock at the final boss. Like, I had that when I just got in and then just couldn't do anything.
Oh, that's always fun.
But when I reloaded, it was fine. And, like, the only ones I had up to a certain point were, like, the way it works is, like, you've just got this map, it's sort of set in the wheat belt, and you'll go between locations, which you actually enter, like, but it's just, like, a map with pictures. And on your way to those locations, you might get attacked. And so you've loaded into this small map, and one of the times I loaded in, it was guys I'd already beaten, so they're just dead on the floor. Or some, like, sometimes the enemies would say they're fleeing, but, like, they're not, like, they're just there, standing there still. Yeah. But that was, like, the worst I had. Like, that was, you know, nothing too bad. But I'll talk more about the game before I get into what happened to explain sure. What happened with mine, which I'd waited for the patch to see if that would, I thought that was going to fix it, and it did not. So it's like a sort of traditional style computer RPG, although I haven't played a lot of those. They said they're inspired by like Fallout, like the original ones and some stuff like that. Like you know, click to move. The combat is turn-based and you've got action points. And like you're not on a grid, but you've got action points and movement points. And my one problem was that I kept misclicking and using an item or like stepping somewhere I didn't want to, because you don't have to like double tap to confirm to move, you just do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is really annoying. Or I'm just trying to like click to get more details. I'm like, oh no, I just threw that. There's also a cover system, which is a bit odd at times. Like everyone's gun seems to have a lot of spread shot, and I don't. Yes, there's issues with like trying to click on a spot because there's a corpse in the way, and then you can't kind of get the right angle. But for the most part, as I say, I didn't have too much trouble with the combat once I realized I had to level up my character. Because I was just trying to save my skill points and not spend them, but like, no, you gotta commit to spend them before you level up.
That's a very old school CRPG problem. I've played some really old games where, actually, I was just playing Fallout, the original Fallout, on Steam recently, and that was one of the things I found hilarious. Is that like I'm literally standing above the rat, I have a gun pointed at it, but like I'm inches away, and still the guy manages to miss the rat with a gun, and I'm like, dude, really? Like you're literally standing on him. But yeah, it's such an old school CRPG thing to be.
Yeah,
like,
I tried
no,
to
like,
play that for research, know? But like, as soon as I like, get out of the vault, I'm like, how do I move? How do I do anything? It doesn't even control the way I thought it would. But yeah, the combat was fine once I leveled up. I ended up switching to the hide gun backstory and just putting pretty much all my skill points into the gun ones because I didn't. Basically, you've got, melee weapon. Well, you can have two of a kind if you want, but normally you'd have a melee weapon and a ranged weapon, so you can switch between them, which takes up an action point, being if someone gets too close to you and your gun's not really good, you switch to something to hit them with. But I mostly just, the guns were pretty good. You didn't really need to bother with that, aside from the quests where I have to get into punch-ons, and then I'm not really good at it. So. But I don't have to do that. And yeah, you got the infinite ammo, but you got to take your time to reload it. Oops, I got to change this. So I've just like gone through because the review didn't get published yet, and there has been like one patch which just changed some of my minor complaints. So I've got to like, you know, I was gonna say there's no consequence to fleeing combat, but no, they've added like a skill check sort of thing. Like you've got a percentage chance to run away, and if you fail, then you've got disadvantage when you get into the fight now. And yeah, you've got some skills, like you can put up an Overwatch, which you do, like, so, you know, if they move, you shoot them. Most of the time I put that up, no one would move. So I didn't use too many of the skills. You end up getting magic, because you just talk to some guy and get a little personality quiz, and then you can do magic, apparently. Easy as that, really.
That's interesting. I would not have expected that in that game.
Yeah, I think that was like a little surprise thing, I guess. And so the main one I actually only really used was the fire one, but I had to stand really close to activate it. But it was good for when we got like too many guys were up in your face, because at least they'd have to step over the fire to get to you and have like a little damage to take. Because there's some you go between, you're like, oh my, how are you gonna take these guys? And then I realized one of my, because I kept the same few party members really, and DJ had the healing skill, which I didn't notice until towards the end, so I could just pop the area effect heal down, and it's all fairly pretty easy for the most part. Like there was there's one area where because there's also some skill checks, but there's not a lot. And so it's like one area, because I play some of the newer CRPGs where you can just sort of like do whatever you want, really. Like you play Fallout New Vegas or something. I like instant fail quest because I hit somebody over the back with a pool cue in the first town. But there was one instance where like I could use a skill check. You know, combat's like about to be a combat because I'm trying to save my friend, and there's the leader, and I can skill check to shoot her in the head, so that takes her out. But the rest of the fight was still like too hard, so we still ran away anyway. And yeah, that's like it's kind of few and far between. I think the only other useful skills is probably like Tinker, but then you also got a party member you can get and take with you to do that, so you don't need to, like, there's not a lot of that, like a little bit but not much. That's what's going to open up the Twitter, because they are going to patch even some more things, but that's not till May, and some of the issues I have I don't think they're gonna get fixed. Like some of the minor things have already been fixed, such as originally you couldn't level up your party at all, and when you went into your world, like every time, because there's a main base town called Meriden, and like every time you left you had to pick your party, and it still doesn't say if like who you want in your party, so you had to manually pick it every time. And then you couldn't change their gear except for when you're inside a town or check their gear. But they fixed that, so you can check it on the world map now, thankfully, and you can level them up now. It's like they fixed, but it's like, why was it like that in the first place? Why did you have to like release this to the public to realize that this was a
You think they'd come across it at some point, you know?
Yeah, like, and it's like, you're not just like, you know, they took 5 months off for the bugs and stuff like that. It's like, you said you'd done playtesting, but it's like, what, did nobody go, this sucks? Like, why can't I do this basic thing? They supposedly fixed one problem I had too. Like, outside of that one base town, whenever you're in another location, your whole party's walking with you. So when I want to talk to somebody, I've got to wait for everybody to line up in their spots to talk to them. Supposedly they've got patched, but when I checked it, it didn't really look like that had been fixed, and maybe they only fixed it for specific locations.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those things where it's like, okay, here's our problem. And then they fix it, but then don't realize it creates a different problem somewhere else. Like, wonder if that was something that they. But before we get off of the classes, though, I do need to know, what is the Jackaroo class?
So that's like, it's just someone who works like on a sheep farm or cattle. Otherwise, like, you know, I don't know what an actual cowboy
like
does,
a shepherd?
But I imagine it's like the same kind of thing. Like,
sounds like a shepherd.
You're mustering them, you're fixing the fences, you're just sort of doing everything. You just work on them.
Oh, jack of all trades, a jackaroo?
Well, I don't know, it's Jillaroo if you're a girl, so.
Oh, okay.
But that's the background I picked, like, every time I played until recently, when my actual main playthrough, I just picked the hide gun, because just that gave me the option to, better shooting skills and getting. So yeah, some of the things that have changed is, like I said, things I've talked about, they've changed that you can now, like, try to flee with an actual, like, instead of just instantly getting to flee, like, you have to actually try.
Oh, like a delay or something?
Like, it's based on your agility and stuff.
Yeah.
And they've added staff restrictions for weapon types, because I guess there's an upgrade system where you're collecting, because you go into, like, these, like, areas and you're collecting bits and bobs, and you combine these bits and bobs with a bit of money, and you up, because the money system's also a bit weird. I was like so broken. Everything's so expensive with the gear, and it's all not even that great. But the upgrade system is at least good. So like I'd for fairly cheap upgrade my guns, and they'd be really good, useful. But yeah, they've now required that you actually have to have the right skill level to have a really good gun, so maybe not as easy. Some other like minor things. There's some story stuff they've changed. Supposedly covenant enemy placement is a that's a specific area. Just some minor bugs. Oh, they've increased the cost of one of the quests. So yeah, so I guess they've made things a bit harder and stuff too.
Seems like a game that'll probably be like I'm curious if it'll be kind of like a cyberpunk
situation
where it's like years of fixing,
you know? I'll tell you what they're planning on fixing, because they've said more fleshing out of the last chapter, which, okay, that might, you know, because, yeah, that's a whole other thing where it was like, I'm trying to, basically where I got stuck is I'm trying to figure out how to get into this town, and I need to either become like a trader, a scholar, a signer, and I assumed that was just to do all the quests in that one particular area, but I was having trouble finishing them. And I had the option to do like their dirty work instead. And I thought I had to do all three things. Turns out I only need to do one, which was good because I could only get one of those to work. like I needed to like sort of change the leadership in another town, and I can't do that. I failed to do it because the dialogue options to talk to, like, it says in the quest log, you know, talk to such and such about this or that. And like, there's just no option to say it at all. Or go to this other place, and I'm like, talk to this one person. I'm like, I can't see them. I can see one person I can talk to a different name, and another person who I can't click on at all. But I was able to do the one bad thing I didn't want to do to get into the final area, and then that one was all pretty quick. It was, and that was just sort of, yes, I think the story is a bit of a letdown. So you sort of start, basically the start of it, I've gone all over the place talking about this, I sort of went into combat and then... complete and then patches and then, but you know, the story is you're just sort of whoever, because you pick your backstory, and you've got a job in this nice town in Brookton. It's post-apocalyptic Australia, like post-nuclear, although there's no nuclear problems really, like there's no rat, you know, like the rat system of fallout or anything like
no
that.
No rat scorpions running around stabbing people.
There's some mutant stuff, but there's no, like, you don't have to worry about radiation poisoning or anything at all like that.
Oh, okay.
It's like a bit after that, and so it's people just in their different little settlements and societies, and you in this nice town, and you're barely there before it gets ransacked and like lit on fire and everything. So you escape with who you've got left. You go to this first town to try to seek shelter, but you've got to convince them you're worth anything. And you go in, and like the place is not that good. They have indentured servants, some of which were born as indentured servants and are getting screwed out of getting out of their, you know, the point of an indentured servant is that they can eventually get out of it.
Buy their freedom, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, it's like they have this particular debt and then it gets paid off. So it's not slavery, but in this case it basically is, because they're getting screwed out of it. And, you know, so you've got, oh, it's like they really put an emphasis on like having these moral choices, because you've got this quadrant between, I've got it written down, the utilitarian, Machiavellian, nihilist, or humanist. So, like, if you give your personality quiz at the start, and then certain dialogue options are only available to you if you're sitting within that quadrant, which can lean over to two different ones, and sort of moves you around, and it gives you a couple different combat traits as well. But it doesn't really affect what you can actually do. So you could say the goody two-shoes humanitarian stuff all the time, but you could just be killing and selling out people and whatever. Like, that's not going to stop you from doing it. It's just some of your dialogue, really. And, yeah, for example, here there's these indentured servants, and I can help one, but as far as I'm aware, I couldn't do anything else. it might be because, like, I didn't... Like, there's a mayoral election on, but I didn't believe the other guy when he said he was going to do, like, he's just promising to do literally everything. So I was like, I don't believe him. And there's, like, three different ways to progress that chapter, where it's, like, you do stuff for her, you do stuff for him, or I'm trying to investigate what she's trying to hide. like the leader of the town, and I did that. So then the election debate started without me. So like I had no influence on that when it happened later, because I don't know how. There is supposedly a time thing in this game, because I'm reading the patch notes, this one quest where it's like you've only actually got so much time to do it. Or, yeah, there's a lot of stuff happens, and then I come back to Meriden, and then like, oh, and then the elections happened. And then I come back to Meriden and someone yells at me about something that happened like 2 days ago, but they didn't yell at me, like my party member, like while I'm there doing it, they don't say anything. But then I come back to town and then they're like, that was murder. That was bad. You shouldn't have done that. And it's like, why didn't you say anything when we were doing it? When I was about to shoot like a giant rape, you know? Like one time I was so confused. Like I was like, what the heck's going on? Cause I got teleported back to Meriden, and it was cause I'd like agreed to buy someone's like, it was a goat or something, like an animal. So I instantly tell me back to there and I'm getting yelled at about something else. And I was like, what the hell? But it was because of the animal that I got brought back. And like this whole other quest where it's, I do it. And then the next time I come back to town, people yell at me about it. And the next time I come to town, more people yell at me about it and fight me. And then I just shoot them in the head. And nobody says anything about that really. Like there's a couple comments, but from like the voiceover lines, but nothing. Which is also inconsistent with the story, because in the main sort of story part, when someone, there's like a minor like explosion type noise in the area, they get a radio call from somewhere else asking like, you know, there's like firing in a restricted area. But when I've shot someone in the head in a supposedly restricted area, there was no problem.
Apparently logic doesn't exist in Australia.
Apparently. Yeah, so that's just like, that's my main sort of issues. You like, it's a really big focus on story, but like, I could only kind of go to that one place where you finish off a story one way by really nasty. And the ending to it is just so whatever. And I assume maybe there's a good true ending, because the ending I had was such a downer either way. I'm going to assume there's a good true ending. It's just because I couldn't do things the nice person way that it didn't happen. Yeah. Because like that's just not working for me. And that's what I thought was going to get fixed with this patch, because they said, oh, quest logic issues with like Deborah and da-da-da. I'm like, oh, okay, that'll get fixed. No. It didn't get fixed. It's just, and I'm not restarting the game again, because technically I got to the end and I beat it, you know?
Yeah.
Just not the way I wanted to. But I'm assuming, yeah, maybe there's like one way to get a slightly nicer ending, because it was definitely a downer one. And it was like my only like final decision really didn't make much very much of a difference at all. And the I'm gonna assume they're rebalancing some of the difficulty thing, because yeah, like the final boss fight, which is like really the only boss encounter, it's like mostly people, or maybe a mix of people and dingoes, or people and some giant spiders and mutants, and you know, sometimes it's really hard because there's a lot of them, but there wasn't, what I played, there was no boss encounters except for the final boss as well. And that was really easy when I did it. I got rid of them in 2 turns, so.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Not exactly an epic fight.
And I didn't even have my full party.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of... they've got what their next patch will be in mid-May, was that they're saying they're more fleshing out of Kalgoorlie in the last chapter, so more reactivity to events in Meriden. So maybe some of that stuff will be fixed if they're saying they're fleshing out the last chapter, because it was like I get in here and then there's a class system, so I do some tests to get assigned to a class, and then I got like immediately like chucked in, hinted at towards where the resistance is, and like barely did, yeah, it didn't, that section didn't take very long. It was also very funny because they said the game was going to take like 30 hours, and I think that particular playthrough maybe took me 12 or so, and that was with, you know, over an hour of trying to get other stuff to work that wasn't working. So the only way I think you can make it 30 hours is if you were doing everything, like that was all working, you know, like trying to do as much cycles as you can without, before committing to things. And if you read, there's a bit where you go to like a library and you hand a philosophy books, and then you can ask about them and you get a description of them or the philosophies. I'm like, unless you're reading all of that properly as well, maybe that only takes time, because I'll skip it through that. I don't care.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I don't read in real life. I'm not reading in the game.
They also said they're doing additional Aussie slang entries in the encyclopedia, so I'm gonna assume that they, because there's a, like, you know how this glossary is in visual novels?
Yeah.
So they have that for a lot of the Australian slang words, because the audience will obviously need it. And I guess there are a lot of words that, you know, we might have assumed were not Australian slang, and I guess were. So I know that happens to me sometimes. So I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what that means?
I think it's funnier if you hear the if you hear it and don't know what's going on.
So many additional dialogue options and combat resolutions requests, more skill checks throughout the game, additional low-level more options throughout, considerably more companion action interactions while companion quests. So that's like one complaint I've had, like, you don't get to know your companion. Like, it's no companion quest. You don't. This one guy's still mad at me. Like, I can't say anything new to them at all. I'm making the game more impactful. Yeah, done some other minor things. So, like, it looks like after May, it might be worth playing. But I'm just not really sure if they're going to make.
Well, and that's assuming they haven't broken 10 things after they fix 4, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, it depends. How do they fix the last chapter? How do, you know, like, how do they fix the, like, yeah, I said, the inconsistencies that I'm experiencing, aside from just, like, I don't know, my story is just bugged out. Like I said, but, like, you know, the people yelling at me about things like that and only doing it in Meriden. Definitely, like, adding the party quest will help, but a little bit. But, yeah, I'm just not sure how they're going to make that better. I basically said the one good quality of the game is the art style, because it looks like the traditional, not traditional, like, you know, because Australia's not that old, but, you know, like, the bush paintings of, you know, sheep and trees, and, like, it just looks like those old paintings of Australia. And it all looks real, like, the visual, like, you know, people look like whatever, but, like, visually, otherwise, it looks really good. And, like, the, like, there's one area that's covered in plants, and it's, like, gorgeous, and, you know, everywhere the tin roofs have rust on them, and it all looks really good. But it's sort of where I'm at. Like, I didn't bother telling them about this bug that I've had, because I told them about heaps in November, and then it got delayed by 5 months, and I'm still having this issue, and it's a different issue, similar, and it's, like, I'm not on the payroll for QA. Why is it up to the people who bought the game to tell you that, like, this isn't
this, this, this broken? Yeah.
Like, what's, you know, why do you need someone else to tell you to let us level up party members, or that you didn't give them any quests or anything for me to say to them, you know, like, and they
it's
all still
bad, because it does, like, it really does look great. It's funny that because I'm at their site and they're talking about Nintendo Switch version to come, and I'm like, come on, like, don't even bother. Like, it looks like it'll be a nightmare. Just focus on what you got there. But it's a big project, really, for, because it doesn't seem like they've made games before this, or maybe they have, like, just on their own sort of thing. But to kind of jump into a CRPG. With so many mechanics, like,
well,
on top of each
other.
I think
they thought,
you know,
it was ready to go in November, but then when reviewers got their hands on it, they were like, oh, suddenly everything is awful. And doesn't work. Like, every time we played it, it was fine, but yeah.
Apparently they skimped on the QA. Either that or the, you know, the one or two people they have playing it.
It's like, you know, as far as they were aware, it's ready to go.
At the wheel.
And then they delay it by 5 months, and that's still, like, not just the bugs, but also, like, just the game design decisions and not including things.
Yeah, I know a few of these indie developers.
I'm not about the voiceover being sort of inconsistent, but they're going to add some more.
Yeah. I know some of these indie developers, like, they don't have, they just don't pay for the QA. They just play it themselves and figure that they'll find it. But it's, like, it's one thing, because, like, you know, when you know the mechanics of things and you know what you're supposed to be doing, it's different when you have someone coming in with fresh eyes. Like, it's
talk too much about, like, how it was in November, because it's ages ago now, but, like, how it was when it was supposedly ready, and I'm like, oh my god, like, I was literally like, good thing they delayed it, because I was going to ream it, and now it's like, I'm still reaming it, just it's not as buggy.
Yeah.
It's just, the rest of it's not that great either.
It's a tire fire, but it's not a massive tire fire.
And that's, where I'm sort of like, man, I think I'm done with reviewing, because I had a similar thing when at FEU. I did like summer in Mara, and there was just design decisions that were awful. And I'm playing through this whole, like, a much longer game, having to deal with all of this, trying to like get through it. And it was miserable, yeah. Really. And there's then as soon as I'm done with it, they're like, oh, we're patching it to fix these things. And it was like, well, why do the reviewers and your Kickstarter backers have to play the version that's complete doo-doo?
Yeah.
Why did it take, you know?
That was the bane of my existence when I was like reviewing games often, was that because you always run into the game where you're like, no, I don't want to finish this game. Like, you tell me I'm signed up for 10 more, 20 more hours of this crap. Like, you know, kill me now.
I'm
retroactively quitting.
Yeah. Take the code off my account. I don't want.
Yeah, that's right. I want a refund.
You can do that on Steam.
Of my free game.
But yeah. Like, no thanks, actually. But I had Bandletail, and that was like sort of mid, but I was told that it was going to be like 30 to 40 hours, and I started playing it, and I'm like, oh no! And then I beat it in like, so, what was
that,
it?
That's
not very, that, not be anywhere pro, near that.
Pro game was half as long as I thought it was would be.
Yeah. I'd write it. About 18 hours, a bit less. I don't know. So thankfully, and I'm like, I don't, you know, because I said complete, and I'm like, I'm only missing two achievements, and that wouldn't take me too much longer to get those. One of them was to like fail a party. I didn't do that. So, and if it meant complete, as in like get every skill, but like that would still to only add, yeah, that would only be an extra 10 hours. So I don't know where it was like 40 to. Actually, I think it was more. I think it was like 40 to 60 or something. And I'm like, oh my God. But thankfully, it was not that long. But I've just. Yeah, this problem where you're playing the game and then you write your review and then they fix some of the problems, or they're going to fix some problem. And then you're like, well, what's the point of me doing this?
Yeah.
You know, if it was I bought it myself, I could at least wait. I wouldn't have to get it done, or I could maybe get money back if it was like a physical or something. But as a review code, it's like, why am I doing this?
Well, hey, this Marquez Brownlee on YouTube is having this exact same issue where he's getting, people are giving him a hard time for reviewing a product. And his attitude is like, I'm here to review the product that's in front of me, not the one that may be here in 6 months.
The AI pin or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's taking a lot of flack for that, but it's like, you can only talk about what's, you know, your experience. Make assumptions based on, well, you know, maybe one day this thing will be fixed or that'll be fixed. It's like, no, this is what I got and this is what it was like, you know. Like
the attitude of like, you know, we're talking about Jordan reviewed Aiden Chronicles, and one of the comments ends with, stop complaining and just enjoy the game for what it is at the end. And it's like, this is a review. And yeah, it was like some of the stuff I got on my like not review for Fashion Dream, where it was like, you know, you should take it for what it is. Don't take into account any of their past work. Don't have standards for your thing that they're selling for money.
It's like, did you think you're coming here? This isn't a commercial for the game. This is a review.
Yeah, I think that's also about like the sort of influencer culture and the way people on TikTok and other things make videos. They're all sponsored. So they might complain about the game, like, you know, if it's like a sponsored review versus just a sponsored video where it's not really a review. They're talking about the game, but they're not actually, you know, really reviewing it. And it's like, are they just used to this now?
There definitely is a lot more of that, for sure.
Yeah. So
well, it's funny you say that, because I actually seen some videos out there where they were sponsored by the publisher of Udian Chronicles, and it's just like, this is like, that's really a big thing in video games these days, is they seem to be kind of shying away from the review sites or the journalism sites or whatever, and they're just like, you know our we'll give the review codes or the money for marketing to the influencers, because we know we're going to, you know, if we're given the money, they're going to talk about the game, and, you know, why risk having a reviewer throw it under the bus, you know?
Like, I think it's one thing, you know, for example, a lot of people were getting sponsorships to talk about, like, Unicorn Overlord, but it was the same as, like, it wasn't their video was about Unicorn Overlord, it was just that they, it was like a sponsor, but, you know, like an ad break to talk about it and basically read the same script, you know? Like, they did that, a lot of that with Persona 5 Tactica, which I don't think paid out for them.
No.
I think their game did well. They put a lot of money into marketing it, though.
They put a surprising a lot of money into it. I get why they did, but it just seemed like that was not like that wasn't necessarily one of those like, hey, you like Persona 5, you'll love this game. It's like,
yeah, I and you know, I liked it and we talked about it, but yeah, it's definitely like it's a spin-off. It's one of it's like fourth spin-off of Persona 5 for one thing.
Yeah.
Some people are turned off by the art style. Some people don't want the gameplay at all, and then your back half of the game wasn't that good. It's just so funny that they, you know, everyone says you need to market your game more, but then it was like, maybe you shouldn't have marketed your game that much because now you've just wasted
money. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes marketing the game is not the issue.
And, you know, when I look at the last few games I reviewed, I'm like, the last one that I've actually enjoyed was one I bought myself. And if we go back from ones I didn't buy myself, then I didn't, like, really, really like one since August.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So yeah, I've got a few more reviews to work on, and I think I don't know what I'm gonna do YouTube wise. But I think, you know, well, one of the things we're talking work, you know, they're doing the meetings and talking about, you know, your well being and stuff, and maybe sometimes something's gotta give, and I'm like, yeah, I've already decided that maybe game reviewing's gotta go, you know. Then I can play games for fun, and by fun I mean I'm going to sit there and not know what game I want to play. I'm just jumping between like three different platforms.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a different experience when, like for Rebirth, for example, because we don't talk about that enough on this podcast, like being able to take your time and not worry about like, okay, you know, I've got this 2 weeks before embargo and this needs to be done. Like, it's just a different experience between
and it's just like
kind of rushing it out on time and like actually taking your time with it, you know?
You know, like sometimes we've bought games, like we want to talk about the podcast, and then we just go, actually, we don't like it and we don't even want to play enough to even be able to talk about it. Like,
yeah.
It's like, no, we don't want to do it. And sometimes I felt pressure with like trying to beat a game in time for the podcast too, so. But that one's a bit easier to bail out of. I can just be like, oh, no thanks. The consequences aren't as dire, I guess.
We always have backup plans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Broken Roads, definitely wait till after May. And then, you know, I've got the copy of the game, so I can probably go back into that final chapter and, you know, see if it's an improvement or not. Like, I still think, like, after all of that, maybe it'll just be sort of mid, you know, mediocre, like, okay, game. But, yeah, we won't know until we actually see what, how they change it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, I guess this one gets a buyer beware.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess before... Well, we get into your... I'm very interested in your next game. But I just want to mention a non-RPG game. We don't talk about those very often here, but...
Yeah, we're not like Talk Nintendo where we go off topic all the time.
Yeah, that's right. So I was looking into Game Pass games and the... I know I always like to... look for games, not edutainment games, but maybe games where if I can convince my kids to stop playing Fortnite for at least like a day or two to play something slightly more useful for their brains.
Yeah.
It's always fun to find those games. And I know that both my kids really enjoyed. We went to an escape room for my daughter's birthday last year, and they still talk about it now. Like it was such a blast for them. And I happen to just kind of come across Escape Academy. So this is a game, it's available on Game Pass, but it's also on Steam. It was, as of when we recorded this, it was on 50% off, but recording times are always weird, so I don't know if it's still on sale by the time you're listening to this. But It's essentially an escape room, a series of escape rooms in a video game setting. So you're playing in a first person setting where the way the game starts off is it's kind of built around this like school for escape artists, I guess. Like, so you're actually going to this escape room type area, like store, like a regular escape room. You're going to this kind of rundown shop where there's a teenager or whatever that's supposed to be manning the desk, and they don't really care. And you go into the escape room, and so the introduction of the game is like, here's a little fun escape room that you go into, figure your way out. Very traditional, not too difficult. Like they're certainly giving you just kind of an introduction to it, to kind of if you haven't done one before, whatever. So you do the puzzles, you get out, and then when you come out, the attendant's gone, and then the store itself is the next escape room. So now you got to figure out, well, how do I get out of the store now? So you do another little escape thing, and then it opens up this passageway into the basement, and then it's introduced that the person was actually the headmaster of this escape academy, where you go and it's like this university, and then they just have different parts of the university where you're walking around the campus, and there's like, here, you know, here's this type of escape room, and here's that type of escape room, and that's all it really is. It's just all these different kinds of escape rooms. But so far we've done four, and they've all been pretty fun. We've completed them all. There's time limits on each one, and if you get stuck on something, there is a hint system that you can hit so that you can be told like, okay, this is what you should be focusing on, or this is what you should be thinking about. So we've never been stuck yet. Like I said, I think we've been through five or six. I believe the game has 12 escape rooms total so far. I know I've seen like advertisements, I think, for more that are potentially coming. But the other neat thing about it is that it has a multiplayer. So it's either couch co-op multiplayer or online multiplayer. So if in couch co-op, you got two controllers, they just split the screen down the middle, and then you just walk around helping each other solve the room. So you're basically both in the room, and you're free to go wherever you want and figure out the clues and try to escape. So not too many couch co-op games these days, so it was kind of interesting to see,
especially
that.
Like outside of Nintendo and things that are trying to be like Overcooked.
Yes. And it's definitely useful if you've got like a few people in the room too, because if only one person is using it, it quickly becomes a shouting match of no, look over there, no, look over there, no, look over there, no, you're hitting the wrong thing. So, what? When you put a controller in each person's hand, it gets much less confrontational.
Well, it certainly sounds like it's what you want it, you're wanting it for.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a big puzzle hater, so it definitely doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah.
I always play my like video games, and then they put puzzles in there, and I'm like, how dare you?
Yeah.
See, that's another thing about Rian, you get stuck on something, and who's going to help you?
you want to
tell the developers you can't figure something out? You want to do that?
Yeah.
Especially like sometimes you're talking through like a middle part, you're usually talking with at least one person between you. It's like,
well, yeah, that's it. Like, especially when you're reviewing and the game's not out yet, you're like, no, you're just making it up at that point.
Yeah.
Or something.
Like I said, you can talk to the PR to then talk to the deck, get back to you like however long.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing is you even when you usually have questions, the PR people are so busy that they're, it takes forever to hear back, or and usually the PR person has no clue either. They're like, well, I guess I'll have to go ask the dev, and then by the time the broken telephone, you probably figured it out or asked somebody else or found someone else reviewing it or something.
No, I don't like puzzles. But it sounds like it's for you, it's good for kids and local co-op, and it's not too hard.
No, it's fun. I'd recommend it, so especially if you got Game Pass, because it's part of the membership. But we got one more game to talk about in this episode, and I don't know if I even want to attempt to pronounce this one, but I guess I'm mandated by contract. I will give it an attempt. This is a Slovakian game called Felvedik. I hope I'm somewhere close.
You open the game and it doesn't say the title screen, so I don't know if that's how you say it.
Okay, so I'm just presuming that is correct. Yeah. When you told me what the game was, I thought you were having fun with me for a minute. Like, there's no way the game's called this. You're getting me to Google something weird, and I'm going to get Rickrolled or something. But the game is on Steam, and it is it's got overwhelming positive responses.
Yes. It's one of the ones, that's one of the benefits of writing for RPG site is finding out about games I probably wouldn't have elsewhere. Like, I might not have heard about this game anywhere else. Like, this in Small Saga, I only found out through, like, the chat that someone else is bringing it up. So, yeah, it's apparently it's made in RPG Maker, which, like, you know, it is a turn-based sort of RPG. But, like, looking at it, you might not initially think so. Because one of the things that's, aside from the setting, where it's set in 15th century Slovakia, sort of roughly based historically, like some people got, starting to say, like, oh, you know, such and such wouldn't exist. And I'm like, yeah, well, the dev was basically like, well, it's a game about finding, like, cultists with, like, mutants and stuff. So it's not, it's just the vague setting, not particularly meant to be exact. And, you know, the main character is an alcoholic knight, because obviously he is a, you know, Eastern European man.
I was gonna say I've played an Eastern European game with an alcoholic, and I really enjoyed that one. So,
your name is Pavel. I don't know. Again, like, I wouldn't know how to pronounce any of that, so I'm just reading it as it looks like.
Yep.
And yeah, he's a knight. He's drinking. It has some of the cutscenes are like, I guess you'd call them FMV. I don't know, but not really. I don't know. FMV is only live action, isn't it? Or is it anything?
No, I think it's any kind of motion. Like, okay. I've seen the trailer, and I would call them FMV videos.
Definitely not in engine, because then
no.
Cutscenes look like sort of PS1 graphics. You know, yes, that low poly. Yes, that's what it looked like to me. Vibes, and then, you know, the rest of the game is 2D it's like using, I guess, photos a lot. Like, you know, you open the game and past that cutscene, you just see Pavel smile because he's just got this big grin stuck on his face every time he shows up, because it's the same, I guess, portrait or sprite, you know. All those portraits of, pictures of actual people that have been done up in a way, because it all has this monochromatic look, but the color, like, will change depending where you are. So, like, some of the rooms are, like, greeny, a lot of it's, like, purple. And, you know, they're in costumes, and it's just got sort of like a, I'm not sure how they did it, but, you know, there's, like, an illustrated sort of filter to it, where it just has a very, like, I really like how it looks.
Very unique, that's for sure.
Like I said, I wouldn't, I'll go back onto his Twitter, because I think he explained the inspirations for it, if I just find it. But I wouldn't really know how to describe it myself outside of, you know, like the cutscenes of the PS1 looking. No, there we go. He says it's so visually inspired by Slovak artists Schnitzer and Brunovsky. And then he's got, like, some, I'll link him to you, but he's just trying to sort of, and I can definitely see that, like, where it's sort of based on certain illustrators, but it still looks different from that, but you can tell it's the inspiration, like, just this is, like, they're all, like, black and white sort of illustrations, and he also says it's, a fantasy movie?
Yeah, it kind of almost reminds me of kind of like storybooks from like hundreds of years ago, like kind of that Hans Gruber Andersen, or I'm sure that's
a lot of people were comparing the looks of it to Hylix, and he actually said that is an inspiration for the art too, like that his approach to the processing the traditional art into digital forms. Okay. So using like photos and physical things to then turn into the digital images. Also inspired by Gothic and Neverhood. And then, some other inspirations you're saying in terms of, like, story and things like that, too.
Yeah.
Lots of inspirations. One of, like, the things is I just read the description and I was, like, sold, like, because it's only, like, like $16 Australian, but yeah, you know, pretty cheap. Yeah, I get to play an Ogalek Knight. I'm sold, like, done. It's RPG. So yeah, you go up, and then your main drive is that your woman has left you, so you're very sad about that. And the Lord, you notice, like, there's a old tower's on fire, and you got to do something about that. And your Lord is like, no, go talk to the I actually don't know what his job description is. Like, he's a religious guy, but he's not the priest. He's like just brother. I get, like, I don't know if he's a monk or something else.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, monk or
maybe something like a monk. Anyway, yeah. He's your main guy. He becomes your main buddy, but like the dialogue and stuff with him is really funny. I think I took the so it's a bit of a comedy too. Like, so yeah, he goes to talk to him about his problems. And then it's also all sort of in semi-old speak as well.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the lines aren't translated, though, so I don't know if it's because they're meant to be speaking a different language or whatever. Like, it's only, like, part of a line, and the rest will be back in English. But I didn't check some of that. But there's a bit, yeah, at the start of the game, it's like, I thank you kindly, because he's telling him just to pray, basically. And it's like, I thank you kindly for relieving me of sadness over my wife so swiftly. I immediately feel renewed, truly. If only I had known that a simple prayer would suffice. Clearly, in your celibacy, you know naught of trials that accompany wedlock. You know what you're talking about, bro.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so it's like a lot of funny things like that. Well, like, whenever you've got some items and, like, whenever you pick it up, it's like, this now belongs to us. So, like, I've got sour cream, now belongs to us. So it's back to the stairs. So, you know, you go to investigate the fire, and it seems like there's some... Because what's going on there is, like, there's the Hussites, which are, like, anti-Catholic Christians, but they're very crusady, and, like, they're forcibly baptizing people and stuff as well. So they're kind of doing what we mostly think of Catholics as doing, but they're anti them, which is what, like, your Lord is, and they're, like, everyone else is operating under. But there's also some Turks and stuff going on, and you find out that there's, like, a cult, and they're doing very strange things that are, like, mutating people. So you're basically finding your wife who seems to be involved in it and investigating what's going on with this cult. And yeah, it's like this pretty short game. I beat it in about, I think my total play time was 4.5 hours, because I saw the game over screen a lot. Definitely, like, get your saves in, because, you know, this guy's like, hey, come here, I'll take you to paradise. I'm like, yeah, sure, bro. And they just beat me to death. Like, I can't do anything about that. It's just, you know, it's like several guys.
Sometimes just you just gotta see what happens, you know?
Yeah, so, like, things like that, you know.
Mm.
Or just not knowing what to do in a fight, because it's, the system is like, yeah, you know, nothing, like, replenishes until you go to a shrine at a church or something. So I was often running back to get my free heals instead of spending any items. And that, like, the MPs, which is, like, called tools, because you do feints, which is, like, your special attacks. The toolboxes you can only use them outside of battle. Eventually you come across an item that lets you use it, like, in battle. But, yeah, I was often running just to get the free. Like, I'm like, I'm just going to go heal myself for free rather than spend my items. So I definitely had plenty of items for the final stretch of the game. And, you know, upgrading your equipment, or, like, just sometimes I'm like, no, I'll come back to this later. And then I find out I don't have to fight these guys on. I can actually get someone to scare them for me, or things like that. And so some people have put a lot more time into this game because there's a lot of side stuff. And there's some quests I couldn't forget to do. Like, someone said, you know, they get a painting and I just didn't know where to get one. So that didn't happen. There's, like, one point where you got into the forest and I encountered into a fight, but I wasn't ready. So, like, when I reloaded back in, I was like, I'll do that later. But I ended up them saying, like, oh, it's time to rest. So I never ended up doing whatever that fight was because I had done the allotted amount of things I could do, apparently. So that's the, gist of it. It's just not really, I don't think there's any puzzles in it, really. It's like side quests and stuff like that, but it's quite, yeah, it's funny. It's just, you know, it's just something different. It's a nice short little game, but there's a lot of extra secret stuff to try and find. it's got a very interesting art style. I didn't actually, that's why I didn't talk about the animations. So in the battle, you've got your feints, or like you do a half sorting to lower the defense, things like that. So it's sort of, it's definitely not rotoscope, but you know, like it's sort of, again, it's just like film of the, like, some arms, because it's like the you're fighting in a fight and it's first person, so it's like you've got portraits of you at the bottom, but it's you're just looking at the guys in front of you that you're fighting.
Yeah.
So then, like, yeah, the arms will come out and like stab the sword a certain way, and like it'll have that filter, so it all looks like it's part of it. But it's very cool to see, like, you know, and your healing item is wine. So you literally, like, you go to heal and you just like pop open the cork and go glug glug glug, and it's like first person you drinking.
Yeah.
And there were, like, the little Steam review I submitted was that pouring one out for the homies revives them, because the revive item, you literally like pour the bottle on the ground.
Yeah. It feels like this game has a lot of Disco Elysium vibes, because it's like that Eastern European, and it's like the guy, like, yeah, drinking alcohol to heal yourself. And,
well, you know, the Eastern European dev, so it could just be, you know, you get similar things from different culture, like the same similar cultures and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, I totally forgot to talk about the music, because, like, what do you think the soundtrack to this game would sound like?
I don't know. I almost want to... Like, it'd be too simple to be like some kind of orchestral thing.
No,
but I don't know.
It is like, it's not the right timestamp. Thank you. It's like, I'll link you to it, but it's like prog rock, I guess, is the term.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, you go into the battle music and it's very funky. And yeah, so you're getting more of like a 70s sort of vibe from it. And I really like the battle theme, which I think most games, you like the battle theme. That's usually where the strongest song is. But yeah, it's definitely not what took me by surprise in a good way. Yeah, so I don't know if, I'll link it to you and maybe you can play something of that particular song. The second song is the music. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, the second song in the list is, I think, is the battle music. So.
Let's see if I can jump to it.
Yeah, that one. Right.
That sounds pretty 70s.
Yeah, that's what I said. You're like, that's not what I like. You know, I like jumped into the battle and started grooving, and I'm like, this.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. But I mean, to be fair, that must be, like, you know, some of his inspirations were like movies from then, or just, you know, he just likes that music, you know.
maybe he's from these older, from the 70s.
It's just nice to find like a medieval set game that's, you know, not forcing itself to sound medieval.
Hey, when you're a small indie developer, you got to find ways to stand out, you know, be different from everyone.
Yeah, so that's definitely, if you want a short little RPG maker game with some humor and to not play in front of your kids, then I definitely recommend this one.
Cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, I feel like it's been a while since we've really focused on too many indies. We've had some, lots of, Square Enix related episodes. We've had, the whole front end of the year has been just kind of a condensed release schedule of like AAA bangers.
Yeah.
And before recording, you and I were looking at the schedule and thinking, like, man, like, it seems like it's, this year might be, it was so front loaded that we were like, yeah, we were so thinking of like, oh, this is going to be such an amazing year for RPGs, and then it's like, oh, it just seems very front loaded now, because we're looking at the months coming up and thinking like, oh, there's been a few disappointments this month and it's looking a little bare, and you know, some
will get announced still, but you know, for example, P- people are assuming that Nintendo maybe was supposed to do Switch 2 this year and they didn't. So, like I said, the only new games from Nintendo this year that we know of, Princess Peach Showtime and Endless Ocean Luminous, and neither of them are developed within Nintendo themselves. They're by other developers. Sony said that they're not doing any big games this year. Xbox never has any games, so don't need to worry about that.
Yeah.
I feel like Atlas is the one that's pulling its weight. Two remakes and a new game this year, and that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have Metaphor in the fall, so yeah. Or so they say anyway.
Yeah, like if they do that, like if they don't delay it, that's like three RPGs. Two of them. You know, one's like a fixed up port, and one's a whole remake. You know, but still, that's like three whole games RPGs just by, you know, not even a public. Well, yeah, Atlas is. I guess they are a publisher.
Well, no, I think like Sega owns them.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I mean. They're more Sega. Like their development company, I guess. You know, multiple studios, but like teams. But yeah, it's really kind of carrying it. You know, and then we got all those big hits at the start. So yeah, it's like we've gone through, and we've got so this month. We've just had, you know, Broken Roads, Aiden, Chronicles. I think we both agreed we're not getting Saga Emerald Beyond. So.
No, it's not looking that way.
I'm unsure on Stellar Blade and Sandland. I'm just waiting for reviews because Sandland's by Ulka, and I played One Piece Odyssey, and that was not.
Oh, like, yeah.
That was that it takes 20 hours to get a good game, and it's a 40-hour game, so which is getting a Switch port, by the way.
Yeah, who the Sandlands by someone famous though, right?
Yeah, Toriyama.
Okay, it is Toriyama. Okay,
yeah, it was a one volume manga basically he published in the early 2000s, and it just got an anime, and this game's coming out. So it's sort of like one of the last things that he's had involvement in before he's passed.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sad, but I'm just not. The demo was like, I don't know if you downloaded the demo for Sandland. It was like a press demo, you know, like a trade show demo, because it just dropped in. There's no story. It's just like the combat in a desert, and there's no direction. Like, you know, it's like one of those, except there's no person telling you where to go or what to do. So I played around a bit with it to like, you know, I'm like, okay, the combat's fun. The guys respawn too fast though, because I cleared out a tower where there's like one tough guy to like, you know, try to get around, but I didn't have all the parts. So then when I came back, like they're all respawn again. I'm like, really? Immediately,
it does feel like a game that could potentially disappoint. So it's kind of been off my radar just because it's like I don't know, like it.
And so far, I don't know anyone that's had a review code for it yet. So I'm assuming there'll be a few outlets, but not many.
Oh man, yeah, it's coming up. It's next week.
They did, however, use a rude sandstorm for one of the trailers, so at least their marketing is on point.
Yeah.
Just not the demo, and I'm not sure. I'm just waiting to hear about that one.
Yeah.
And then next month we have Paper Mario 1000 Year Door, which is good because I can get it at an affordable price.
Yes. It's funny that the remaster will be cheaper than the original.
Yeah, there's some smaller things, but that's like the main one, really. June is a lot of re-releases, like especially on Switch. It's like, you know, it's like there's a few of these RPGs, and then there's even like Luigi Mansion 2, and it's like, oh, that's just a remaster, so I don't have to, you know. It's like when it's months where you go, oh, there's so many games, you're like, oh, actually, I can just pick the new game and worry about the other ones later.
Yeah.
But we've got the Monster Hunter Stories 1 port, because that was mostly stuck on 3DS and Apple Arcade. I'm kind of hoping, because I just opened it recently and realized I didn't download one of the DLCs before the service got shut, so I can't have a Pona in my 3DS copy.
Oh.
So, because it's getting ported to PS4 and PC as well, I'm like, are we going to get that? Are we going to miss some of the exclusive like costumes and stuff? I don't know. I need them to reprint the Amiibo, because I don't want to spend over $1,000 to get them. But it doesn't seem like they're going to do that.
No, it doesn't seem to be the focus these days.
I feel like they would have announced it at the same time they announced the port. Yeah. And Monster Hunter Stories 2 is coming to PS4. It's already on Switch and PC. And on the same day, we get Shin Megami Tensei 5 Vengeance, which is coming to like all platforms. So I'm definitely going to get that on a PlayStation platform so that it can run good. Like, I'm pretty Switch loyal, but I'm, you know.
It definitely seemed like a game that looked like it would play better on a non-potato
device. I would like to see it a little bit prettier, maybe better frame rate. You know, I do have to worry about the frame rate in terms of not getting motion sick and stuff too. So it influences me a little bit sometimes, but, you know. And that's an interesting case because, you know, it's like the Atlas re-release thing. But it's like you'll have the original story and then another version where you can play this new ones where it's like interesting that they've done it as a separate mode. So it's like they must be changing like a fair bit. So they're still like putting the original story in case anyone complains, I guess. And that, it seems to have a fair bit more content and just, you know, that it's, you know, for maybe for Switch owners, it's or people that bought the original, it's a bit of a letdown, but you should probably know this at this point from Atlas, really. Maybe just wait. If you don't really like their stuff, you know what, you're on a budget, maybe just wait until they re-release. But, you know, for people on the other platforms, they get to experience it. Oh, and Elden Ring DLC. So, you know, we're still kind of busy until June. And then July, we've got Dawn Trail for Final Fantasy XIV, which I'm kind of like, I guess because I've had a, you know, baby since the last expansion. Like, when am I going to play this? She does go to bed sometimes when she's meant to, and sometimes she doesn't. So, and then everything else doesn't really have strict dates. So, you know, like I was saying in terms of like what I might get a code for, I've got nothing until like maybe Monster Hunter and Fantasy Life I, which isn't until October. And a heap of other stuff that's no particular date. Like we're supposed to get Metaphor or Fantasia, which is probably my most excited one for the year. And I'm using an RPG Sites list because I might as well. Deca Police, if it's still coming out this year. Demon School seems interesting. I'm not too interested in Dungeons and Hinterberg because it's just like a lot of people, when they're low, maybe not indie, but like close to indie size studios are making like action RPGs and it just visually doesn't look too good. Like it looks looks janky and not great. Some others, I don't really know what they are. So Hades 2 is coming out in early access soon. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 got announced recently, and that's supposed to come out this year.
Yeah, I played the first one, and I was like, eh.
A lot of ports to, like, other systems. Like, Thaumaturge came out already, but, like, the... Oh, yeah, Visions of Mana.
That one. That's
not got a date. I'm interested in that. I think it'll probably just be, like, an... You know, like someone else said, like with the preview, it seems like a 7 out of 10 action JRPG, but you know, nothing wrong with that. You know, people have budget constrictions and stuff, or you know, like what they like. But you know, if you like the Trials of Mana remake, I think hopefully this will be what old fans too, but at least the fans from that hopefully will like this.
Yeah, I'm thinking we'll probably know a lot more soon, like when the summer. Like kind of the summer announcements start coming out again. I'm sure we'll find out because the back half of this year certainly seems a little light. But like you said, there's so many of these games that just don't have set dates where it's like they seem like they're probably pretty close to release and if you know any time now sort of thing. We still got the Dragon Quest 3 remake or whatever it is. Like,
I wouldn't be able to find it.
Every like year it's supposed to release. And it's got to release someday, you know?
I do like, I don't know, I don't have any like confirmation whether it's true. It's just like a Twitter one I read where like people are speculating that maybe the 3 remake is going to come with 1 and 2 because just how long it's taking. Yeah. Although, again, you know, you don't know too much about game dev and it could, for example, Shin Megami Tensei 5 got announced a couple of years before they said they even started working on it.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, we were waiting on it, and then they said, we've started to work on it. So, you know, and some stuff got shifted around too. Like, say, Dragon Quest 12, the main guy has been taken off that into the mobile department. I think partly because after Akira Toriyama died, that might have deflated people a bit too, on top of whatever troubles it was having.
Yeah.
So that's sort of on hold a little bit at the moment. And that could be the same with, like, I don't know why you would do that with, like, it should be a pretty straight remake. I said they're going to change things a little bit, but I don't know why you might announce it and make it look like it's nearly done and then just put it down for a second to work on something else, but that's a possibility. But there was,
yep.
there was like the Dragon Quest Twitter was like, what are your favorite duos from, you know, it's like characters from Dragon Quest games. And someone's quote tweeted like, I've got a duo for you, you lazy. And it's the Dragon Quest 3 HD and Dragon Quest 12.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so, you know, and this, but we might be able to catch up on this and last year's RPGs if it does indeed slow down after July. We're not sure. Awesome. For sure.
Yeah, and that's not the worst thing, to get caught up on a backlog a little bit.
Although it depends when Metaphor's coming out, if it comes out this year, because that will be a long one.
Yes, I would imagine.
That'll be probably, if it's good, my game of the year, but like in terms of what I'm expecting to play a lot.
Yeah. Not going to review it.
No. No, I did not put my hand up for that one, I tell you
that much. No, that sounds good. Well, this is probably a good place to end this week's episode. It's good we haven't seen you in a bit, so it's good since to catch
January.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's funny, time flies so fast, especially when you got kids too. Like months go by.
Well,
like
I think everyone changed when they're available to do it. Like we had a particular day of the week that worked, and then I've gotten more work at, or sort of I'm working more days of a week anyway. Like set. To do it, and yeah, the kid means I can't just do it whenever. I've got to have someone else in the house.
Yeah. So. Well, and then Casey's got his little one, and that's Casey changed June. His schedule a bit. And
you two have older kids. So.
Yeah, my kids are getting older, and they want to do stuff, and it's like, no, I don't like doing stuff. And it's not
it's
working.
It's
three against one. They're making me do stuff. It's no fun.
Oh, I think the baby just woke up. There we go. Perfect
timing. Perfect timing. Well, I want to thank you very much, Paige, for joining me for this week. And yeah, we'll look forward to getting you on next when we can.
Maybe not 3 months.
Sorry?
Maybe not in 3 months.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll have some new release by then. So, but yeah, I want to thank everyone. So make sure to check out, this could be some of Paige's last reviews. So make sure to head over to RPG site to check out her reviews and her YouTube channel as well. But yeah, until then, thanks for listening, and we'll see everyone at the next Thirsty Mage. Bye.
Bye.